First, I want to start off by saying it's an honor and a privilege to be here. I love Pastor Brent and his family. The first time that my wife and I met him was at Newark Church. He was our youth pastor there. So he poured into our children. I remember when God called him to come into this area and to plant this church. I remember the ride home when we were speaking to our son, Devin, and we told him that Pastor Brent and his family was going to move on. And my son, when I tell you, he cried and cried. And that's when I realized the impact that he has on so many lives. And I know that he just continues to have that impact here in this community. It's truly a blessing to stand here today. One more thing I wanted to share with you real quick before I get into my message. He also baptized me, baptized my wife, and baptized our children. But the cool thing was, I remember with me, I was at the beach and I was walking out there to get baptized, and I'm just going to be transparent here. I don't know how to swim. So for me, this was unique, and he was far out there. I'm like, why do you got to be so far? Can you come a little closer, Pastor? But I remember he was far out there, and I walked out there, and I told Pastor Brent, I kind of whispered to him, and I said, I can't swim. He said, that's okay. If you die, you're going to heaven. I was like, okay. Okay. So ever since then, you know, he just has a special place in my heart. I want to share with you a verse, and it's found in the book of Psalms, chapter 13. And it reads, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foe will rejoice when I fall. Would you bow your heads and join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, as we enter into this time, I pray that you would guide my words. I pray that the people listening and hearing, I pray that you would take me out of the equation. And I pray that you would use me in a way that only you can. I thank you for this opportunity. I ask that you bless everyone in this room. And I ask all of this in Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. One weekend after service, I did something that I often do. I went up front to pray. You see, this was a little different because oftentimes I'm a part of the prayer team and we go down front and pray. But at this time I was hosting. So as I was coming off the stage from hosting, I seen my prayer team had already begun to pray with people. So I decided that I kind of was going to stand in the background and just kind of watch over them praying and maybe join in with a prayer. But as I walked down off the stage and kind of stood to the side, one of my care team members, they asked me, they was like, hey, will you join us, Pastor Darius? Will you pray for this family? I said, sure, and I walked over. And as I walked over, it was a lady and it was her children and her husband. And I said, how can I pray for you today? And she looked at me and she said something that just touched my heart. She said, Pastor, this might sound strange, but I don't feel God's presence anymore. I just feel like he doesn't hear me. Church, have you ever found yourself in that place? Have you ever found yourself in a how long moment? Have you ever been upset with God for not giving you something that you prayed for? Have you ever been upset at God for something that you lost? Have you ever felt like God was not with you always? You see, this feeling of separation and abandonment or rejection, it isn't new. In fact, I believe it's safe to say that we all have felt or will feel this way at one point in our lives. Before I go further, I do want to just express and explain to you that God is always with us, right? Through all the ups and downs in our life, God is always with us. But in our time together today, I want to talk about some of the things that may hinder us from finding or recognizing the presence of God in our life. It's important that we are able to identify these things because we have some control over the tribulations that we may face in our life. What is tribulation? It's the suffering or difficulty that you and I experience in a particular situation. For example, if I choose to drive a car under the influence, there could be some pain and suffering that may come because of that particular situation. And as a husband, if I choose to be out all hours of the night, ladies, you already know where I'm going with this one, there may be some pain and suffering from that situation. You see, both of these things will cause tribulations in our lives. But here's the thing, there are some things that we can't control. Using those same two examples, we can't control other drivers that are driving on the road under the influence. We can't control our loved ones when they're making bad choices and bad decisions that may affect us in our life. You see, although we don't have control over all of life's detours, we do have full control over the anchor that we choose to hold on to when going through the storms that we face in our life, when we find ourselves in that how long moment. After we say yes to Jesus Christ, for some of us, there's this high that can happen, right? And as a new believer, you may think that your life is going to be that way every day. At my church, every year we take around 40 guys on a trip that we call Wild at Heart. It's a trip led by our lead pastor, and on this trip, men take a deep, hard, and sometimes a very painful look at their relationship with Jesus Christ. And at the end of the trip, the men come off the mountain, they come off of that campground, and they're on fire. They're on fire for their life, they're on fire for their families, and for the work that God has called them to do in their heart. But the thing is, all of the leaders, we are constantly tell them when that trip is over, be prepared for when that spiritual high starts to come down. We let the men know that although God has been working on their hearts, the world that they left behind, it hasn't changed. That family member who is not talking to them may not respond to that call on the phone. That argument that they had with their spouse, that argument will still need closure. That son or daughter that had a pain and a hurt, the father, you still will have to address that. You see, we want the guys to understand is that even in all of that, God is with them. And as they fight for their kids, God is with them. As they fight for their marriage, God is with them. You see, and just like the guys coming home from that Wild at Heart trip, it's easy for us as believers to also be on fire for the things of Christ. Each weekend we come to a church on Sunday. Pastor Brent shares a message that speaks right to your heart. I'm not talking about the message that when he's speaking up here on the stage, you say, so-and-so needs to hear this. I'm talking about the message that he shares that you're like, he's speaking directly to me. And when we walk out of the door after a powerful worship, after a very impactful message on our lives, we are on fire for the things of God. We get into our car, we turn on the Joy FM, everything is great. But life continues to happen. And when that unexpected thing happens in your life, it's easier for us to forget the message that Pastor Brent shared. It's easy for us to forget the words that were spoken to our heart during that worship song. It's easy for us to forget what Paul said to Timothy. In 2 Timothy 3:12, it reads, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. We also read in James 1:12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. You see, oftentimes it's life's events that could put us on a path of not feeling God's presence. Life events, it could be things like dealing with a sickness, with ourselves, or even with someone that we love, a family member, a friend. being part of that prayer team was truly a blessing. Because you see, I get to stand with families that are going through the ups and downs, and I get to join with them, praying for them. It's one of the things that we're all called to do as believers. I put this in my notes. In Galatians 6:2, it says, carry each other's burden, and that way you will fulfill the law of Christ. But there are times when we go to pray with someone and they're upset. There's times when someone comes down front for prayer and they're hurting. There's times when someone comes down for prayer and they tell us that they got bad news about a medical condition. There's times when they come down for prayer and they're feeling separated from God. Another life event that can cause that separation is the loss of a loved one. My wife and I, we lead grief share at our church. The men and women in our group, they fight every day, navigating through this crazy thing called grief. We talk about their anger, their frustrations, and their sadness. By all standards, death is the most dreaded event that we all could walk through. But you see, the men and women that are in that group, they continue to fight through it each and every day. And they have been an inspiration to me and to my wife. Another event that may happen in our lives that can cause that separation is a broken home. A mom and a dad with children can separate, and it can cause all kind of anger and frustrations within that home. Church, I just shared with you a couple of life events that could cause us to not feel the presence of God. But sometimes that emotions, the feelings, it just happens. We walk through the doors of the church every day, like today. We speak to people in the hallway when we see them. We greet them, how are you doing? We sit down in our chairs and we worship next to someone who's having this one-on-one experience with God. But in that moment of you walking into the church, it may be something that has been weighing heavily on your heart. In that moment when you're walking in the church and you see all of these people having this experience, and you're standing next to the person who's worshiping, but you just don't feel the presence of God in that moment. As a believer, when I find myself in the moment or in the season that I don't feel God's presence, I ask myself a question. What is going on in your life that may be hindering you from the things or calling that God has for you? This is true for both believers and non-believers. You see, we have full control over our relationship with God. Throughout God's word, there are many scriptures that help us to understand how to experience his presence. One of my favorite ones is found in the book of Hebrews 12:1, and it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. You see, this verse outlines four ways that helps us experience God's presence. The author said, let us throw off everything that hinders. This is the first feeling I have in your notes. Let us lay aside every hindrance. We must identify the things in our life that are hindering and slowing down our relationship with God. You see, God wants us to be responsible as a people, but our everyday responsibility should never replace our devotion to God. If we're honest with ourselves, time is the most valuable asset that we have, right? It's non-renewable. We can never get it back. But sometimes we have to ask our question, where are we spending our time? Where are we spending this valuable asset that we have? It could be things like a person. It could be things like people. It could be busyness, our career, social media, watching Michigan play. I'm just playing, sorry. This will be different for each one of us. But whether or not, but whatever it is, it's important for all of us to identify that and to lay it down and set it aside. The second thing I put in your notes was turn away from sin. The author said in this scripture, he said, the sin that so easily entangles. Brothers and sisters, if we're dealing with a reoccurring sin, you see, this allows guilt to creep into our lives. And that feeling of guilt can create a separation from God. So when we're trying to connect with God in worship, in our prayer, in our devotion time, because of sin, we are fighting through a guilt that we're trying to connect with God with. Especially if that sin that we're navigating through is recurring in our life over and over again. Then we find ourselves in what I call a sin pattern. We find ourselves sinning and confessing. Sinning and confessing. If we want to connect with God in the way that we desire, we must identify and turn away from sin. When talking about turning away from sin, the Bible has a word for it, and it's called repent. The word repent means to turn away from sin. In Acts 2:38, it reads, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Ezekiel 18:30, it reads, therefore, you Israelites, I will judge each of you according to your own ways, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent, turn away from all of your offense, and then sin will not be your downfall. The third feeling I have for you is live our lives according to God's purpose. The last part of that verse said, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. One of the main reasons that we don't feel God with us always is because God has a specific purpose outlined for you in your life. But when we don't walk in that purpose, it causes a feeling of separation between us and God. This can cause unrest in us because we know that deep down inside, you and I were created for so much more. This feeling of unrest, it causes us to feel that disconnect. The next feeling I have for you is keep your focus on Jesus. It goes on to say, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. You see, if we want to experience God in our life, we must keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. But what does that look like, to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ? Quiet time with God. Set time aside to spend with God. Try picking a time of the day when you are less likely to be interrupted. It could be the first thing in the morning. That's when my wife wakes up every morning at like 5 o'clock. I don't know how she do it. I'm asleep, but anyways, my lovely wife wakes up every morning at 5 o'clock and she's in there, in the Bible, in the word, in devotion. For me, the morning doesn't work. I have to do it every day before I go to bed. But for you, it's just picking that time that works for you. I remember when I first started picking my time and setting aside because someone brought it to my attention how important it is, I tried to do what my wife does early in the morning, and I kept being late to God. And I'm like, man, sorry, God, overslept. And then I got to a point, I said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it before I go to bed. So I got my nightstand there. I have my Bible, my devotions. And so I would read. But every time I would fall asleep, and I felt so guilty. I said, God, I'm sorry. I would have the Bible there, and I would fall asleep. But the point I'm trying to make is you pick your time that works for you because it's so important for you to spend that time with God. Another things I have in my notes is prayer. Prayer. Pray all the time. The Bible says this about prayer in Luke 18:1. Then Jesus told his disciples, a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. When the Bible says we should always pray, it doesn't mean that we're supposed to be on our knees 24 hours a day praying. It does mean that we should be in prayer in all things in our life. And in everything we do, we should always have God in our mind. As we go through our day, some might say something like, well, every day, everything we do? Yes, everything we do, every decision we make, we should be in prayer and have God constantly at the forefront of our thought. If you think about it, we do this already with the people that we have in our lives, that the people we have a relationship with, the people that are closest to us, the people that we love. We think about them all through the day, and they're in our thoughts when we're making decisions. I'm going to give you an example. And if you guys don't hear from me or you see me on the news next week, please look at the first part when I said prayer, because I'm going to share something about me and my wife, and I always get in trouble. But anyways, I'm going to give you an example. So I wanted to buy a truck. Guys already know where this story is going. So I wanted to buy a truck. And I needed to take my car in for an oil change. And my wife said to me, she said, don't let them talk you into anything. Go to the dealership, get the oil change, and come home. I said, okay, honey. So as I'm sitting in the lobby, I thought about my wife. As I got up and I walked around the showroom floor, I thought about my wife. As I walked outside and began to look at all the new trucks, I thought about my wife, and I heard her say, get your butt back in there in that chair. And when I was test driving this brand new truck, I thought about my wife. My point is this. We think about people that are close to us in our life every day, right? And see, God wants to have that kind of relationship with you. When you're out and you're about to make a decision, he wants to be that person in the back of your mind before you make this decision. Another thing I have in my notes is worshiping, singing and praising God. Not only during the church service, but throughout our day is a way that you and I can continue to connect with him. Community. I heard them mention it from the stage earlier. Community is so important. How can we keep our focus on Jesus? By community. By living life the way that he modeled for us. You see, Jesus could have done his ministry work alone, but he chose to have people around him because he was teaching them the importance of community. In Hebrews 10:25, it says, don't give up meeting together with each other, believers, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You see, we must make time for God. We must make it a priority in our life every day. These are just some of the ways that has helped me feel God's presence throughout the ups and downs in my life. Going back to that family, when that family came up front for prayer, and when I heard the mom ask those questions, I had to ask a question, because her answer would determine how I would respond to her saying that she felt separated from God. You see, the way she would answer would help me go with how I should answer her. The question that I asked her was this: have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You see, the truth is, the points that I've shared are for the person who has. But if you have not, this question, this would be your first step. Whether you regularly attend Kairos Church or this is your first time here, the church being here and you walking through the doors is not an accident today. On this very stage, your lead pastor, Pastor Brent, teaches the gospel unapologetically. Week in and week out. And if you haven't invited Christ in your life, there will be separation. You will experience that feeling of disconnect. In John 14, 6, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you would know my Father as well. You see, Jesus is the universal point of access to God. And it takes some of us a while to figure that out. I know it did for me. I could not understand why this void was in my heart. You see, before I gave my life to Christ, I had a good job. My family didn't want or need anything. I had a good group of friends. My wife would say different. I had a good group of friends. But there was something missing in my life. You see, even with all that I had, there was a separation there. Because I had not accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. And if you're that person in that place where I was, I want you to hear this. God wants a relationship with you. In the book of Matthew 11, 28 to 29, Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You see, I remember being in this season in my life that knowing that there was something more, but there was this void in my heart, and I was trying to fill it of things of the world. As I was consuming these things of the world, nothing was working. I would turn to alcohol to hide the feeling of separation. I would turn to alcohol to numb the pain of rejection. I thank God every day that my mother forced me to go to church as a young man. I always like to encourage parents. I love that you have a kids ministry, because I was kicking and screaming, not wanting to go into that kids ministry. But here's the truth and the importance of having a strong kids ministry. Because I was that child that was in a kids ministry and I didn't want to be there. But fast forward in my life, when I turned 18, my mom said, okay, now you have a choice. Either you can continue to come to church or you can walk away from it. I walked away from the church. And from 18 on to, I can't remember, I was living out in the world with this void in my heart. But see, the importance of a parent making me go to church and the importance of the team in the kids ministry still instilling in me and pointing me to the gospel when I became older and when I was that man broken in that garage and I had nowhere to turn, this foundation was laid in the kids ministry and I turned to Jesus Christ. And I remember verses when I was broken in the garage that I read as a youth. Verses like the one that we find in Jeremiah 29 and 11, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and the future. Maybe you're someone who has not said yes to Jesus Christ. Maybe you're someone like me and you're far away and you haven't made that choice. Maybe like me, but you're experiencing right now that tug at your heart. If you don't hear anything else that I share today, I want you to hear this. God wants a relationship with you. If you're living a life that is not pursuing God, that means that your life is not being used for the purpose which you have been created. Here at Kairos, the vision statement is, every moment matters. And right now, I'm going to ask the band to come out. You see, no matter where you're at, no matter if you're feeling that moment of separation from God, I want you to hear this thing. Just like the lady that was up front, everything matters. You matter to God. And he wants to have a relationship with you. The reality is, church, we have an adversary, and he's constantly at work to use our past to say we're not worthy, to use bad decisions we made in our life to say we're not worthy. But that's a lie. The enemy is a liar. God wants to have a relationship with you. So if you've been following God for a while, or you consider yourself a new Christian, although we go through trials and tribulations in our life, we hold on to the promise that God has given us. Throughout Scripture, God doesn't promise us a life of ease. He doesn't promise you and I a life of comfort, but he does promise to always be with us, even when we don't see him. I want to close with this scripture. In Matthew 28, 20, it says, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Father God, my prayer is that for the person within this audience, maybe there's something heavy on their heart. Maybe there's a separation from you that they haven't shared with anyone. Maybe every day they're walking through the church and they're wearing this mask. My prayer for that person, for that father, for that mother, for that brother, for that sister, is that you would just use this moment to remind them that they are loved. That you would use this moment to remind them that you have never left their side. That you would use this moment to remind them that you were there for them and you will always be. I pray for this church. I pray that you would continue to use them to do the work that you have placed on the pastor's heart and everyone that serves. I lift them all up to you, and I ask this all in Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.